what? I want to talk more. Just the talking to get, you know, to sort of sink, like a little pressure. It sinks ideas, the ones that we want you to have. It sinks them somehow down, and the more I talk, the more the idea sinks down from the top of the head or from where you hear into the body until one day we feel, this is what I believe. You know, it's my gut response to what acting training is. See, I don't have to teach you voice and speech. I don't have to teach you acting technique. You know all that stuff, really. I mean, as a coach, I might give you an interesting idea about a character, but you know all that. What we're doing is taking the tendency to split the mind away from the rest of the body and to sort of do all the work with this part of you. Many of us have that happen to us. Maybe it's because our teachers don't remind us that when we take it in, you know, initially, let's say through here, see, with trauma, we take it in wherever we take it in into the body. You know, God knows where, you know, you know, whatever. But in acting lessons, we pretty much sort of, our eyes get wide, and we listen to the teacher, and we sort of take everything in. And the teacher doesn't tell us that, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't stop there. It's okay for you to take it in, but if you don't pass that information through to the body, if the body doesn't receive it and join you in sharing the information, okay, in responding to the moment in the play, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. What has happened with you and with many of us is that the mind, in a sense, sort of splits away or disconnects from the rest of the body and is out there, oh, at about a yard away. You know, who knows what I'm talking about? But, you know, is out there watching and trying to do everything that's being told to it with no support to the mind. So what we're doing, really, you and I, we're doing a tiny, tiny thing. God bless you. We're doing a very tiny thing. We're learning once again how to rely partly on what you hear and the offered suggestion, and partly we're going to believe that the body is taking in the information at the same time, and that the body is going to share in giving you information about how to respond in a scene. So you're going to hear it, but also your body is going to hear it. Your breath is going to hear it, okay? And so we're going to do a tiny thing of learning first how to breathe. The tiniest increment of what breathing is in terms of letting it connect and in terms of beginning to believe that this I can do. I can feel the right weight coming out over my lower lip. I know I can do that. And then I'm not going to do another thing because I know that the breath will move back into my body. And I know in the next exercises that the breath will somehow bring my thought into the words that I'm given to speak. That tiny little amount is what you and I are going to be working on until you can get it to happen. Until you say, well, I don't trust anything, and I'm separated from myself, and I'm examining myself, but the one thing I know how to do is this. The air comes back in, and then I feel it, and I go with it, okay? If we know how to do that one thing, we'll know how to do the next thing. The next thing would be to do what I know how to do, this one thing. When I feel the air coming back, feel it, I can go into sound. Blah. If I can do that without disconnecting from the breath, then I can go into a word. The ship sailed into the Mediterranean. It's the same thing as blah, 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 blah. Okay? If I can do that, then let us say I'm given a characterization. Oh, a poor little secretary girl is standing, you know, waving goodbye to this luxury liner, and she goes, and she's sort of wistful, okay? She would go, the ship sailed into the Mediterranean. A world... Huh? She would allow wistfulness to float onto her breath from something inside that heard what the scenario was, and it would move out into the words, and there wouldn't be a disconnection. Make sense? Good.
Was it you that told me, or another teacher was telling me about the root, and maybe it was my other acting teacher, told me about the root, the connection between the word respiration and inspiration? Was that you?
Tell me what she said, because I like the word insight and inspire.
Yeah, it was, I guess my acting teacher said somewhere in the roots, either Greek or Latin or something, the word respiration is related to the word inspiration.
Exactly. And respiration, let's go on. That's beautiful, and that's exactly what I'm talking about right in there. And it's good to have other language. The actress in our theater, her name is Elizabeth Berridge, and she plays Annie. And she, did you see Amadeus, by any chance? Yeah, I found out that she played Constanza in Amadeus.
I'm thinking of the movie. That,
I'm talking about the movie.
I thought that was in the movie that was played by Leah Thompson.
I don't know. I think it was Beth Berridge. Or, unless I got the wrong character, but I'm quite sure she was it. Yesterday, she had read my article, and we were waiting for, the director to come, and she said, you know, when I did Shakespeare, and this was in New York, maybe it was in the park, she had a coach, some acting coach, whose name I don't know, and she said, he would say that to me. He would say, look, he said, let your breath move and say it on the breath, something like that. I said, that's exactly what I believe in. She said, yes, he did say that. I said, when you're in rehearsal, you can't start that. You can't do it then. You've got to come all the way back to this moment that you and I are going to share, right? Because you can't do it then. You have to teach the body to unremember, to disremember, to forget its habitual closing down, which is a phrase he used, closing down of the body like this, and you have to let the body open up. When we breathe, it's a slightly different thing. Most of us act like this. What are you doing? Did you feel the pressure down? Mm-hmm. See, what it really should be is the breath going, what are you doing? Did you feel the breath floating up through the body and the body kind of floating up along with it? That's what lends itself to an ongoing imagination. Whereas when we close down, when we press down, when we act, we literally press down on the imagination. We close it off. It's like we shut the store. It's a candy shop. Instead of, you know, opening the windows and pulling up the shades, say, okay, everybody, we're open for business. We close the doors, pull the shades down, hide behind the counter and say, okay, everybody, we're ready for business. So that's what closing down in acting means. Let's try just for the breath now, because I think we began that last course. So yours was through closed lips, and it was something like, nothing's going on. It really stopped the movement. Whereas if you let it come out on an F consonant and you go, feel that there's a kind of open movement about it, go for that. That's it. And now do nothing. Let's talk about trying not to. In a way, that's the trap in teaching. And I hope, I mean, in a way, I can't help it. I'm not a good enough teacher to not let that trap happen, to not set the trap. But at least I'm a good enough teacher to point it out and say, let's not fall into the trap. So what I'm saying is this. When I say to you, did you notice this, that this was a little tight and you were, everything got kind of pinched. What's going to happen is that you, as a good student, are going to try to not do that. See? So your attention will go to trying, hear that word trying, to not press here and to not press that. Don't do that. Let's say that your attention should always do what? Do you remember what I said about 5 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago? What was the first thing you should do? This is a little test. I don't care if you fail it.
I mean, you were saying just, saying to yourself, this is what I know how to do. Is that what you
All right, mean? Yeah, and what is it that you know how to do?
Just exhale.
What is it? No, give me specifics. What consonant? An F?
Well, the F. Yeah.
Yeah. Over the what?
Over the lip.
Over the which lip?
The bottom lip.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I'm really being.
But I feel like to make that, because you have a certain sound that you want to hear. Your feedback is from me is that you're hearing the sound, and I feel that somehow that F creates like tension in my lower lip. You know, I have to go. You put. It seems like I was putting tension there.
Okay. You did it that second time. The first time you didn't. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me say this. In learning to do this tiny thing, which really will lead up to your playing Ophelia, believe me, in learning to, and don't tell Valenti because he said, what? Is that what you do? Or for an hour you do that? Are you out of your mind? Yeah, let's not let him know. What will happen, Ilsa, is that you will find tension jumping in to all the places on the tongue, at the lip corners, everywhere. See, don't take the responsibility for the exercise. Mm-hmm. Let me say, now, dear, you're working too hard here, there. See, I, as the outside eye, will watch for that. And pretty much I pick it up, pretty much. I'll jump ahead for a moment. For example, because you watch yourself too closely, your eyes are really watching yourself doing the exercise, you are really putting the tension into that lip, so that my next suggestion would have been, I don't want you to work with your eye socket eyes, the eyes in the front of your face. I want you to work with the eyes in the back, somewhere inside the body, in the back. See, that's going to help release tension. Okay, so it's important that these things surface. You know, you're not quite understanding the exercise. You're doing it wrong, what, for 18 times, 28 times? I don't care. The more wrong you do it, the better. I like it because it brings the mistake up to the surface. And then we say, aha, look. So that at the end we know the exercise very, very well. We know all the things we shouldn't be doing. And we know sort of, we end up knowing that one right thing that we could be doing. Most of us try to get it right. I figured this out. Does that make sense to you? In trying, see, that already takes you away from the exercise. We try to do the exercise. And in trying to do the exercise, we already have set up a scale and a judgment list and a system, you know, what, a group of penalties for it. So how the heck do we learn to do it and not try to do it? That's very hard. To do it, I think, is just this. That's all. Now, you may not know how to do that for a while because all sorts of things are going to get in your way. Don't care. We'll take those out. So, do you think, given your background and the good student that you've always been, you know, and the really intelligent girl that you are, do you think you could work allowing mistakes to come into the work? Okay, that's what I want. Really. So that in a way you're free to make a mistake. You're free to be like a child, a 2.5-year-old child who really doesn't know and does it wrong and doesn't care and is corrected by the parent teacher, right? And is corrected again and again until the child gets it right. That's the way I would like our acting exercises. You see how different that would be? That finally when you did get one tiny thing right, like that exhaling of an F consonant over the lower lip, it would really be yours. I mean, there'd be no more mistakes to be made. You would just say, well, this is it. That's what we want in acting, right? That simplicity, that acceptance. So good. So let's pay our dues, and now let's put our time into finding out what I mean by that kind of pleasurable exhalation. See, I take pleasure in mine because, you know, I talk a lot and I sort of know how to stop worrying. And I now know how to do it. And if I don't do it right, then I just say, oh, I didn't do it right that time. Let me try it over again. Good. So that it doesn't matter. I want you to pick that up also. And that's going to stay with you all the way through to a failure. I think learn from watching me. That helps a lot too. So it would be well. So what I would like is for you to take the next exciting step, which is to let the breath crest. You know, we have this hard palate right in front of the lips. And when the breath crests right under it, when it follows the shape of that dome inside the mouth, there's a beautiful lift that comes into the breath. And that lift then becomes part of the acting. So what you were doing nicely was...
Yes. It's almost a
question.
Well, just in a matter of like singing terms and vocal terms, if you're, there's a thing, maybe you use a thing called a lift in singing, and it's where you yawn to try and feel your palate lift and stuff, and that's, you do that to get, like you said, your intonation change, because that's, in singing technique, that's what brings your tone from being a certain quality in your tone changes as you lift your palate.
What I'm doing is something like that, but
right.
I'm not lifting.
Technical.
Yeah, I'm not manipulating.
Right.
See, and I would not manipulate in singing either, but I won't talk about that at the moment. No, I wouldn't interfere with your technique. But what I'm doing is allowing the air to simply follow the shape, the inside shape of my mouth, which is somewhat different from lifting. In order to let it do that,
right.
Okay? But that's what I'm doing, see? So, okay, it was important to kind of separate your singing technique from the breathing and speaking technique that I'm teaching you, because I would not want you to make it happen, okay? I want you to let it happen. Now watch me, and you can see that I'm letting it happen again. Music of our body. When the sentence goes, John, where are you going? Where are you going? We're actually creating our own music. See, so actors create their own music. Singers sing the music created for them. And what I hope that this will do for you and for me is not only have the breath bring up the emotions on the inside of my body, bring thoughts from my brain into my words, okay? Not only that, but that it touches on the music of my body by flowing out over the inside shape of my body. And just when you really think for a moment how many different shapes we have inside our bodies. Mm-hmm. Do you have that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like right in here, it's lifted. Right in here, it goes down like this, or it fills out, or it goes smaller in the waist, and then it fills out again, right? And the breathing area moves through the chest, through the two breasts, from the lungs. You feel what I'm doing? Look at all these shapes that I'm making. That's what we want in our acting. It's like wind as it sort of blows through, oh, let's say a park, right? And there'll be sometimes the path, and the wind blows over the path. Sometimes it passes a gully, a gulch, or whatever you call them, a grove of trees. Sometimes it passes a bunch of rocks. See, so the wind is always moving in different shapes. We want the wind, the breath, in our body to be free to move over the different shapes in our body, to also, I want to say descend, but to be embedded in the thought. Is that making sense? Okay, so I would go, let's see, John, why didn't you tell me? Oh, come on. Did he really? Really? Oh, my. Did you feel that I'm not really... there is music in that, but I was sort of following the way the breath lifted and the way it moved through my body. Okay? So let's go back again and let's see whether you can allow the breath to crest under the hard palate as it touches the lip. Or let's say if it wishes to, it can billow under the hard palate, fill the inside of the mouth, and pass over the lip in an F consonant. Something like that. Let me see you do it. You see, the reason our lessons are going to take a while for us is that I want you to learn whatever tiny little thing you're going to learn from me. I want you to learn it without fear, without undue effort, with a kind of physical pleasure in doing it, right? And with a kind of confidence that, oh, wait a minute, let me try it again. I know the principles of it. My body just didn't get it right this time. This is what matters. See, I'm not going to let you learn it without these other things that go with it. Okay? Once you begin to learn to work with pleasure, with a kind of, help me out, with a sort of carefree and yet careful pleasure in doing the exercise. That's the beginning of acting with spontaneity and with confidence. Yeah? It starts right here. Okay. So part of what's happening with you is that somewhere from the time you first began acting to now, you've lost the pleasure of it. Am I right? Wrong?
Well, depends. It's a lot easier to be involved in a scene or to get lost in enjoying a scene than it is to, you know, to be blowing air. It's a lot easier to...
I used to think that, Ilsa. But look, let's go over your history. When you take auditions...
I mean, auditions aren't necessarily always pleasurable.
That's right. They're not pleasurable, okay?
But something, just, you know, class, yeah. And the whole, I always... You know,
and those take what? More... Those are what? When you take a class. Is that pleasurable, or do you separate?
No, it's great. And you usually get involved in the work, and sometimes I guess it can be painful if you've rehearsed the same scene forever and you can't seem to get where you want to get. But you know, most of the time it's exciting because you see...
No, let me say this. I too used to think that, oh, when I'm carried away and I forget the tiny, tiny bits and pieces of an exercise, I get carried away, then I can do it. You know, something takes over, right? My talent takes over, is what you're saying. I want to see that we're together.
When you're focused on doing something that interests you.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things that has concerned you about your own work is that there is a sort of, something has crept in between you and your talent. Isn't that what you told me? That some kind of judgmental thing? Why are you here? I mean, why did you come here? Because auditions weren't working for you?
Just because I thought I wanted to try a different, you know, approach to working from the kind of very method-based people
No, no. Let's see. Let's go stay with that for a minute. Ilse, when you came, it wasn't just, yeah, I'm curious about that and I'd like to learn that. That's an attitude, and it's an exciting attitude. But you didn't bring that attitude with you when you came here. When you did your audition, you separated from it. You know, your mind began to get in the way of your response, your immediate response to the material. And then you said that it got in the way in auditions, somehow or other. You weren't really able to move into an audition and sort of be inside the material. Isn't that what you...
Well, not necessarily auditions. Sometimes I can connect with material and sometimes not. I mean, I think monologues are particularly hard for me that way because I told you I was used to training where you work off the other person.
Oh, yes, that's right, the monologues. I do remember.
And in the monologue, the only thing coach, my teacher, would give me was, you know, work off this imaginary situation and the history and all of it, like you said, those are very intellectualized things.
I'm under the impression, and this is arguable, because you had said that Nancy Ann, when you were in the Crucible, really kind of wanted you to do it a certain way and wouldn't let you do it your way, whatever. But the performance that I saw was not deep. It was a surface performance. I saw once, and I think I told you this, when he said to you, be sexy, or in rehearsal, and you came wearing earrings. Do you remember that day? I thought, I liked that, because I saw a physical change in you as you sort of tried to wear earrings and find the girl's sexiness or whatever. But after that, I saw a thinness in the acting. I saw a response to what was going on stage being already premeditated and without body. I mean, it was really a mind response, and it went very shallow into the self. So I saw that as performance, and then you said, yes, I have trouble with monologues, okay? My reading of the situation is that there is a split, that the mind is taking so much of the responsibility that it that the acting talent thins out as you begin to use it in a scene. Is that making sense to you?
Yeah, but it all depends. Some material I connect to and others I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just depends on the material.
Yeah. Let's really take that. What would be a good little scene for you to do right now? And instead of being a monologue, which is hard for you, I'll be the other actor in the scene, okay? And let's see whether you can be free within that. See, we really have to figure out what you think you need in the lesson, all right? And until you believe it and want it, this little thing that I'm doing with you isn't going to be of any use, okay? Let's take a situation. Help me out with a little story. Let's say, who would I be? A person who drinks too much, okay? And let's say that you would be an overly sincere person from Alcoholics Anonymous coming to try to get me to go to a meeting, and that why do you care about me? Because I'm your neighbor and you see me tottering and you think, gee, it's very dangerous, you know, and she's driving and, you know, I've got to get her to join AA, okay? Would that be let's try that as an improvisation. So yours is an overly sincere, overly serious girl. Okay? All right. Let's even give ourselves a few words. Yours would be, but why don't you just try it? So you said you don't have to worry about words so much. And I'll say, oh, honey, just leave me alone. Go ahead. Honey, just leave me alone.
Why don't you just try it?
Try what?
Why don't you just try it?
Try what?
I just try stuff.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I need it. I need to drink.
You won't just try it?
Well, I've tried it and it doesn't work.
You've tried it?
Yes, I've tried it.
I don't believe you.
Why not? You haven't known me all my life.
But why won't you just try it?
Okay, stop right there. Do you feel that those are tiny little empty spaces that you have? Just then, when you did this, when you breathed, that was a tiny little empty space also. What were you thinking in that little space?
Well, I just didn't know how to approach you next. I mean, like when you've given up, you're like, well, what do I say to this person? No matter what I say, they just say no. So you think, what am I going to say to you? Okay.
Elsa, what you were doing then was not really feeling, what am I going to say to that person? Well, okay. It wasn't. What I read in your response, playing off of me, where you feel, you say that you feel more comfortable. What I read was suddenly the mind went empty. And then you picked it up again. Did that not occur?
Well, I went up to you because I didn't know what to say to you. But
yeah. See, and
I don't know whether you mean like as an actor my mind went empty or whatever.
I think as an actress. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I didn't believe that as a character your mind went empty. I believe that as an actress your mind went empty. Now, it shouldn't have. First of all, the scene is the kind of scene one would play in any workshop, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we're playing off of one another. And yet there is that little space of emptiness. Now, why does that emptiness come in? Yeah. I think it comes in, or it came in just then, because of what we just talked about the fact that you're not... There is a visceral connection in acting. And that visceral connection comes from the moving breath to feeling the words on the blade of the tongue and to actually living in your lips as they move. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that also has an emotional commitment, though. I find that when you get involved in something, like when you're having an emotional commitment to something, how your voice shows that intensity. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you want to get your point across, it will come across.
And what I'm saying is, let that happen. See, on a scale from 1 to 10, let's say that we're hoping that the emotional involvement will happen. And when we feel it happening, we go along with it. Let it take us where it will. That's exciting acting. But until you get to that emotional involvement taking over, how do you get there? What do you do in the... from 1 to 8, on the scale from 1 to 10, what do you do in the time from 1 to 8? That's where I think you have empty spaces. See? And what I'm doing is trying to fill in that sudden separation of mind to body, which separates you from emotion. Okay? That's where we're working. See? So we're not waiting. We're not ready yet to say, the emotion is coming, let it come. You know, go for it. It's swell. We're not... That's for later. What we're saying is, how do we enter a scene and believe in what we're saying and say to the person, I don't want to go to AA. I've tried it, I haven't exactly tried it, but my friend tried it, and my friend dropped out. And my friend told me it stinks and that people are all neurotic. Do you see how I can go on and on and on? Because I was sort of involved in a visceral way. Visceral, not meaning emotional and psychological, but physical. Okay, I don't think that you have that in your acting yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I feel that I've experienced that. But uh-huh. But
how many times?
But I've experienced that in stage work, especially in things that are very physical, maybe in a play where there's, you know, physical movement with the character, that seems to really make you feel the physical connection of it.
If you've experienced it sometimes, then that is something that you can recognize, good, and say, oh, that is good. I know, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But how many times have you acted when you haven't experienced it? That's what we're talking
right,
about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Is that why you're in this class?
Right. Yeah, because there must be, because with me, like I said, it's kind of hit and miss, and I'm trying to figure out how I can make that so I feel that I hit the, you know, have the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the equipment and
right.
the right physical and emotional and mental responses
right.
to a scene. What I'm saying to you now, and today it sort of happened that you don't quite believe in it. You know, you sort of, I think for a moment you dropped away in belief.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay, because it's important to drop away in belief if you're going to drop, so that we can, if possible, bring you back to relief. What I'm saying is that what I think you lack in your acting as a whole, aside from the times when you have it, is a kind of understanding or of the principle involved, that your tongue is involved in giving you information, your fingertips give you information, your legs give you information, your gesture gives you, and your breath gives you information. I think that in the times that this doesn't happen for you, only your mind is giving you information. And your mind, when it alone gives you information, is sort of floating out in space somewhere without any support. And what you need to do is to support the thought. And the way that you support the thought is primarily through the breath. Right? When your breath moves, it's serving the thought, and it's also carrying the thought through your body, so that then the body can help support that thought. When the breath moves, it moves through the torso over the tongue, which has also is alive and vibrant to information, to the word. The word then has the word adhering to the blade of the tongue has vibrations. The vibrations not only turn the audience on, they turn you on. Your own vibrations turn you on. That's what's missing in your acting. Excuse me, I don't want to cough. One of the reasons that you don't do the monologue well is because you don't know how to let your own vibrations turn you on to your emotions. And I'm going to cough again. Oh, wait a minute. I think I've made my point. Okay. It was very important to, you know, feel that you had lost the point, and for me to somehow or other find us.
Well, I know what you're saying.
But when you say, oh, well, I can't see, when you say, well, I can't do the small things, but I can do it in the larger sense. I can't do a tiny little exercise. That bugs me. Or, you know, I know, because I used to be bugged by small exercises. I can't do this, but I can do when I play off of somebody. Or you say, I can do it when the emotion carries me into the thing. But you don't do it. See, when we did our little AA exercise, you really had an empty place in the acting. It was the acting that had it. But we were working together. See, so there is something not really working for you. And maybe if you've hit a couple of times, you know, when it felt really good and passionate, maybe there aren't enough. I mean, those times aren't enough compared to the times in which I think that you have empty spots. Okay? So, what I'm saying is, I think that when you say, well, I don't feel comfortable doing, you know, a tiny little exercise, that bugs me. I think that we actors have to learn to really be comfortable in that tiny little exercise. Because that's where it begins. See, don't think it's going to happen good for you when you have, you know, an emotional scene. You're playing Ophelia to his Hamlet. It's not going to work for you there either. something. I know that. It begins here. And when you can feel good here, it moves into a little workshop scene, it moves into another scene, it moves into Hamlet and Ophelia. I think that's the way it really works. Good. So let's go back again. Don't mind that you're uncomfortable. You know, don't mind that you're giving resistance now, you know, that you're feeling resistant to it. Don't mind any of that, and I won't mind it. I think that's normal. I think it's natural. Allow yourself to take whatever time it takes for you to live through this period of resistance or, you know, what am I doing? You know, that kind of doubt. You know, allow yourself to live through it, okay? I think that once you get this, the other will be easy. Well, let's try it again. And please speak up, you know, and bring things up. And sometimes I'll say, don't bother me with that. It's too soon. And sometimes I'll answer it. But don't suppress anything. All right. So we're just learning what it means to do this without pressure. And just sort of this and nothing else. Do yours a couple of times.
Well, I have this
trip back in here. I think you need to do that so that you can actually feel or insight or see in, okay? And when I do that, I don't see out so much with my eye socket eyes. I can kind of see the breath as it sort of goes through my body. That time it just was sort of a, you know, before it was very full, like a figure eight, but this time it went, it just sort of lifted in a column. And I'm watching that with my inside eyes. Let me see whether you can do that. You can close your eyes if you wish, or you can pretend that you're half blind, or you can let the lids lower. That's good. Yeah. And let the other eyes do the work.
But I don't know what it was. Felt a little more hypnotized.
One student this morning said, she said, I kept saying, do you see it? She said, well, I don't really have inner vision. I don't see it, but I hear it. I said, that's good enough for me. And what you just said, I felt, was that you felt a quietness. She said, I hear quietness. That's okay. Another student last week felt the harmonious quality of the breath as it was going through that way. I think that's what you felt. Let me now, because I want to reassure you, the other student who was here on Thursday apparently acts a lot in television. She gets lots of jobs. And why did she come here? She said, well, once she came, there's something wrong with my breathing. You know, and so another student said, oh, go to Beatrice. She'll help. She's just the lady who does breathing.
She's the breath woman.
Yes. Yeah. The other student, the one who gets all these jobs and these auditions, said that they told her that she acts too much or she's too busy in what she does. And I said, yes, actually, you can see when she's acting, her eyes are moving up, you know, her eyebrows are moving up, her eyes are moving up, and her nostrils are flaring, you see. I said, now, all of that is not your acting. The action, the place where you are acting is here. Oh, well, who's going to go? Well, let's get our things and let's go. Oh, come on, Jane, let's go together. Okay, I will. Did you see that I was acting my center? My breath was here, and it was moving into my words, and my eyes didn't have to do too much, and my nostrils didn't have to do too much. This is what she is learning from the breath, the breathing process that I'm teaching you. And this was the only way she could understand it, you see, is by doing this, and feeling a sudden harmony, a sudden quietness to her features, so that just the ideas come out. That's what we want for you too. So you see how it will be used eventually. All right. Now I'd like you to do it again, and I'd like you to trust in that quiet, I don't want to say hypnotized feeling, because that's really not what the lesson is about. But I want you to like it and trust that quietness. See, she has more face activity than you do, really. I mean, your nostrils aren't flaring when you act, that's right, and your eyes aren't crazy. But your
My toes twitch.
Your toes twitch, and your hand rubs your nose. Do you notice how many times you do this? Yeah, you do. You rub your nose whenever you're disturbed, whenever you're upset, you kind of wipe your nose, or you run your hand over your nose. So those are your twitchy places. Hers are in the eyes. And mine, as I keep pointing out, my right shoulder would creep almost up to my ear, you know. That was in Crucible. I think I learned that, but I noticed in this play that sometimes my thumb just rises all the way up. Okay, so that's, I think, where mine is. For the most part, though, my body is untwitching, except just every once in a while, like under my blanket that I use or under my knitting or something, I can feel this. Okay, so it's just in that one spot. So I want you to learn that the breath that you're learning with me now is going eventually to quiet the twitching in the toes and quiet the grabbing with your hand. Okay? Good. Let's see whether we couldn't, you know, just for fun, add a blah to the breath so that we connect breath to a word. And maybe before the lesson is over, we'll be able to bring character into that blah, like blah, blah, you know, something like that. So we feel we've acted today. It would be something like that. Blah. That's all. Just breath to the word. Try yours. Are in the habit of shutting off your breath when you speak. See, singing doesn't seem to help speaking. I mean, I've had the most wonderful professional singers come here, and their speaking voices are just terrible. So they're speaking badly 8 and 10 hours a day and singing correctly and beautifully 2 hours. Doesn't make sense. This is what you did. You went, blah. Did you feel it? The breath was left here and the word was spoken. Mine goes, blah. Did you feel the breath go all the way over to the word? That's what I want for you, from you. Have the breath meet the word. I will tell you, well, one is that speaking includes breath, doesn't it? That we know. That if I were to talk like this and not take a breath in, I would then soon be unable to talk, right? Something like that. So we know that the words really need breath to continue speaking. We will not touch the imagination or the intuition, or we will not bring our talent into our words unless the breath is the carrier. Does that make sense? See, the breath moving all through the body carries everything we think and feel, and it carries it over this area to the word. That's what we have to learn. So we have to learn it in a tiny exercise, but this is the reason we're doing it. So do it once again, and let's try an SH sound this time. And you'll see that you can't do it without the S, you know, without the breath. Go ahead.